Rejoice always. That's the message, and it is going to be short, no matter what you think or say. I'm going to start right now. Philippians 4:4. Everybody turn there. And if you have YouVersion, open it up. Lots of notes on YouVersion today. If you have the YouVersion app, open it up. Give a like there and follow along. You can highlight scriptures there as well. Very easy to do. All right, Philippians 4:4. How many have it? Say yes. Okay, how many still looking for it? Say yes. All right, come on, find it. Let's go. All right, here we go. Philippians 4:4. This is simply what it says. Rejoice in the Lord. Say it. Rejoice in the Lord. I'm not gonna stop saying this till everybody says always. Rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
There we go. And again I say,
rejoice.
That's it. Pretty simple verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say,
rejoice.
And so this command to rejoice in the Lord always, found in Philippians 4:4, is pretty clear. How many of you would agree with that? It's clear. All right? In fact, Paul says, I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I'm going to say it to you again, rejoice. All right? I believe that Paul was trying to make a point here, and I know you see that. So why does Holy Spirit inspire Paul to say it again? Why does he inspire him to say it again? Not just once, but again. Well, here's what I believe. I believe because rejoicing always can be challenging. How many would agree with that? It can be challenging, right? To rejoice always in all circumstances at all times can be very challenging. Okay? In fact, some may say it's impossible. Some may say it's just impossible to rejoice always. And honestly, I would agree with them if I didn't know this one thing. You know the one thing I know? Well, I know Jesus, but I also know with God, all things are
possible.
That's right. Hey, you guys know the word of God. Come on, look at that. You have great faith. Look at somebody say, you have great faith. You do. So with God, all things are possible. So even though there are times in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, we can feel like it's impossible. We know the truth of God's word is all things are possible with God. Amen? So because of that, we have to remind ourselves of that over and over and over and over. Say it. And over again. You have to remind yourself, I can do this. All things are possible. With God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So how can we rejoice always? Well, in the middle of rejoice always is this statement, or three key words, okay? It's because it's not just rejoice always. It's not just rejoice always. The scripture actually says rejoice in the Lord always, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. So you're wondering, how can you rejoice always? In the Lord. In the Lord. It has to be in the Lord. If you're just trying to rejoice always, it's impossible. But if you're trying to rejoice in the Lord always, it's possible. It's possible, okay? We can gain better understanding of what it means to rejoice in the Lord always when we read the same commandment in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. All right, so turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 and we're going to read that. 1 Thessalonians 5. And we're going to read that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Before I get to that scripture, I'm going to show you what's found in the middle, okay, in the middle of this. Can you take that down real quick and put that right there. So rejoice always. This morning when I walked in, so normally what happens is we have someone who puts these graphics together. Scott Smith, our community pastor, usually does it. And he just puts together graphics most of the time, whatever he feels goes with the message, with the title. And he texted me this week and he said, what's the message? I told him, he said, do you have anything in mind? I said, no, just whatever you think. So he did this on his own without me saying what to do. And then I walked in this morning and I saw this. And he had no idea, but you know who had an idea? Holy Spirit. He knew exactly what he was doing. Because Scott put rejoice always, but in the middle he put a tree, right? So let me show you a scripture. How can we rejoice in the Lord always? It's in the middle, in the Lord. How can we do it always? Okay, here's the scripture. It wasn't even in my notes this morning, but the Lord spoke it to me as I was coming here today. Here it is, Colossians 2:7. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let your roots grow down into him, and you will overflow with thankfulness. In other words, this scripture in Colossians 2:7 is saying, if your roots grow down into the Lord, if you're rooted in the Lord, then you can always rejoice. Full of thankfulness at all times. And when I saw that, I was like, that's perfect. Thank you, Lord, that you just orchestrate everything. How many of you believe that God orders your steps? He does. If you're following him, he orders your steps. If you're trusting in him, he orders your steps. You are not here by mistake today. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident. What God did in this service already in your life is not by chance. It's not, oh, that's just what we do, right? Courtney, God laid you on my heart this morning. I've been praying for you for a while, Kim and I have, and a lot of other people, but I heard him clearly put you on my heart and my mind this morning. I believe what happened this morning is supernatural and that God is doing a work, a supernatural work that cannot be explained. Cannot be understood with the human mind, with human reasoning, with human understanding. This has to be a spiritual understanding to what God is doing. And the same thing with what I'm about to say to you today. How can we rejoice always, no matter what the circumstances are? We have to let our roots grow down into him. So look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. And this is what it says. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Verse 16, here it is. Always be joyful. Most versions say, I just used the New Living Translation, but English Standard Version, New King James Version, they all say rejoice always. Okay? Right in the middle of this, rejoice always. Verse 17, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Verse 19, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. So how do we rejoice in the Lord always? This is it right here. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your roots grow down into him. You have to let your roots grow down into the Lord in order for you to be able to have the capacity and the power to rejoice always. There's no way in this world you're going to be able to rejoice always unless it's in the Lord. I know this sounds simple. I told you this is going to be a short message. I'm actually almost done. You think I'm joking? When I was preparing, I said, Lord, this is really short, and they're going to think I'm messing around and everything, but I'm not. I'm telling you, sometimes you feel like you need this big, long word. No, you fall asleep halfway through it anyway. What you need is to hear the word of the Lord. It's the simple gospel that changes the lives of humanity. It's just, we need to understand what he's saying. He's saying, if you want to rejoice, who wants to rejoice always? Raise your hands if you want to rejoice always. Like, even if you don't think it's possible, raise your hand. You're like, I want to do it. I want to do it. Okay. I'm giving you The Holy Spirit is giving us the key right here. Let your roots grow down into him. So let me show you what this is saying. I'm just gonna slowly, well, show you real quick, step by step. Verse 11, build each other up. Okay? That's what it said. Build each other up. Verse 11. This is part of letting your roots grow down into him, into the Lord. Build each other up. Are you building up the body of Christ? Are you building up those brothers and sisters in Christ around you? Are you doing it? If you're doing it, then you're letting your roots grow down into him. Build each other up. Listen, it doesn't mean that we don't need correction at times. We need correction. We'll get to that in a second. But you have to build one another up. Even when you're giving correction to brothers and sisters in Christ, it should be done in such a way that's building them up, not tearing them down. Right? I would take correction from you if I knew that you were trying to build me up in the Lord. But it's really hard to take correction when I feel like you're coming at me trying to tear me down. Does anybody else feel that way? I just want to be built up in the Lord. I'm trying to do this with all of my heart. If you want my heart, you got it, Lord. I want to give him my heart, every part of it. But when I feel like people are coming at me, pointing a finger, trying to get the speck of sawdust out of my eye when they got a big old plank hanging out of their own eye, it's hard. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, we should be building one another up and encouraging one another. Telling each other, man, I love you. I care about you. You're awesome. Scott, you're awesome. There's gold in them there hills. Is that what we're calling to the surface? Are we calling the gold out of people? Are we doing that, or are we just looking for the faults? Build one another up. The second one is respect all spiritual leaders. This is important. Are you respecting your leaders in Christ? Thank you. I appreciate that. But listen, y'all, this is extremely important for the body of Christ. I, at the risk of sounding like I'm looking for pats on the back or anything like that, which I'm not, just for anybody, anywhere you go, if you have spiritual leaders, you call them your spiritual leaders, your pastors, then respect them, honor them, help them, help them. Please help them. This is not an easy thing to do. I'm just telling you, I'm thankful for the call of Christ on my life to lead the church. I am honored to be able to do it, but it is very, very difficult. It's the hardest job I've ever done in my life. If I could, I'd do anything else, but I'm not going to leave the call of the Lord. Do you understand that? This is a job that you never leave, and it never leaves you. You don't punch the clock and go home from leading the church and just forget about it. It's day and night, night and day. You don't understand, like I was telling about Courtney, you don't understand. I think about those things all the time. They're constantly with me. I'm constantly praying for and thinking about you. And Lord, I want to lead them well. So it's always with me. And I'm telling you, pastors go through this. Rich, tell me it's not true. Pastors go through this. You grew up in a pastor's home. Day and night, night and day, you don't punch the clock when you're called to ministry. And it's a hard enough job without being torn down by people. So respect your leaders. Serve them well. Honor them. Build them up in the Lord. And the next thing is warn the lazy. Oh, we're good at that. We're good at that one. I'm not even going to preach on that one. That's it. Warn the lazy. Encourage the timid. Uphold the weak. And be patient with one another. That's verse 14. Verse 15. Treat everyone with kindness. Be kind to one another. Okay, now watch this right in the middle, verse 16. Rejoice always. Always be joyful. Rejoice always. Well, why does this one not say rejoice in the Lord always, or always be joyful in the Lord? Because before this scripture and after this scripture, it's talking about in the Lord. If you'll do these things, you will be able to rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. I said this to you guys last week. You don't have to be, your prayer life doesn't have to look like the person next to you. If you're trying to compare your prayer life to the person next to you, that's the wrong thing to do. You're supposed to pray according to what the Lord's leading you to do. We're all, every one of us are supposed to be praying without ceasing. That means you're every day, all day long, you're praying. Well, how do I do that? It's not like you get in your prayer closet and shut the world out all day long. It's you're praying everywhere you go. Everything you do, you're praying. I said this to you last week, but if you weren't here, I'm going to say it to you again. Jesus, for 3.5 years, walked with the disciples, and everywhere he went, they were with him. Some days they were going from city to city, village to village, and there's a bunch of busyness happening. Lots of things going on throughout the day. They didn't just weren't able to just go away and be quiet with the Lord. They were constantly working and doing something, but they were with the Lord. Does that make sense to you? So whatever you do, wherever you go, however busy your day is, just be sure you're with the Lord. Does that make sense? Just be with him. How many of you work in retail? Raise your hand if you work in retail. You have to work with people. Just like 4 people? Raise your hand. You work in retail. Raise your hand. Okay, about 8, 9 people. Some of you are like, I don't even want to admit it. If you're working in retail, I know Christy does. Christy works at Cracker Barrel. Say, yes, Cracker Barrel. Woo-woo. Had their southern fried chicken the other day. It's delicious. No matter what you're doing, and I know I've been into Cracker Barrel many times when Christy's working, and some days are good and some days, but no matter what you're doing, no matter how busy it is, no matter whether the boss is giving you pats on the back that day or scolding you that day, pray without ceasing. Be with the Lord all day long, okay? Next, give thanks. Verse 18. Verse 19, do not stifle or quench the Spirit. Go to the next one, verse 19. Got it? Is it up there? There you go. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. This is so important, and I'm not going to work on this today or spend time, because next week, this is the title of my message. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. So if you want to know what that means, come back next week or watch next week. Do not stifle or quench the Spirit. Verse 20 and 21, do not scoff at prophecies, but test all teachings. This is important. I will actually talk about this next week when I'm talking about do not stifle the Holy Spirit. And verse 22, stay away from every kind of evil. These exhortations are great reminders to all of us, all Christians, that our circumstances and our feelings should never stop us from rejoicing in the Lord. Never. No matter what we're going through, we should always rejoice in the Lord, giving thanks at all times, showing respect and acting kindly. Every part, every minute, every second of our day should be full of that, rejoicing in the Lord. So when we adjust our thinking to God's way of thinking, then we're reminded that we can rejoice in the midst of trials and circumstances. No matter what's going on in our lives, we can rejoice in the Lord. Jesus showed us this. Listen, Jesus showed us that suffering precedes glory. Suffering precedes glory. If you're suffering right now, you're going through a trial right now, you should encourage yourself in the Lord. You should rejoice in the Lord because glory is about to come. Glory is about to come. Whatever you're going through, there's glory on the other side of that. Do you understand? Not for us, for him. He will receive glory for what he's doing in your life. I'm going to show you this real quick. Okay? We know that we can rejoice always, knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. We know that we can rejoice always, knowing that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him and are called to according to his purpose in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:28. We can rejoice always, knowing that God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Romans 11:29. We can rejoice always, knowing that one day we will inhabit the New Jerusalem. We will see the Lord face to face, and we will see a perpetual day in our lives. There will never be night. There will be no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sadness. We will be with the Lord forever. And when I was thinking about this, praying about this, I felt the Lord say this to me clearly. And I hear him speaking it so clear today. How many of you have a loved one that has gone on to be with the Lord, has died and gone on? Okay? How many of you realize how quickly time goes? Right? Where's Bill Forbes? Bill, you've been around since Methuselah. I mean, so for you, time has gone, dragged on and on and on and on. You're like, Jesus, this is ever going to end. But for guys like me, now I just feel like the Lord was clearly saying, reiterating his word, life is but a mist. It's a mist. You know this because you're feeling it right now, right? And the older you get, the quicker it seems like it's gone. Some of us were like, man, I don't know how many more years I have left on this earth. I don't know how many more, but it seemed like it went by so quickly. And here I am in the latter years of my life. And I feel the Lord is saying to us, just do what you can with where you're at in this point in your life. I've got something planned for you. Your life's not over. Yes, it's gone by swiftly, quickly, like a mist, but it's not over, and I'm going to do something powerful in you in these last days. Powerful in your latter days. So we can do this by knowing that we're about to be with the Lord. Psalm 64:10 says this, and then I'm going to close in prayer. The godly will rejoice in the Lord and find shelter in him. And those who do what is right will praise him. The godly will rejoice in the Lord. You have great faith. Look at somebody again and say, you have great faith. So because you do, you can rejoice in the Lord. I want you to stand. Everybody stand. This is what we're going to do as we close in prayer today. Look at that. I told you it was a short sermon. You're like, that was 30 minutes. That's one of my short ones. I want you to put your hand on somebody next to you, both sides of you. Come on, put your hand on somebody. We're going to pray for each other as we close this out today. I want us to leave this place today so full of the joy of the Lord, that we know that we can leave here rejoicing no matter what our circumstances are. You may be going through a trial right now, suffering right now, but I'm telling you, your trial and suffering doesn't compare to some that others are going through, right? And it doesn't matter what we're facing, we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we can rejoice in the Lord no matter what our circumstances, because we are rooted in him. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to fill us to overflowing with your Spirit. Fill us to overflowing with your Spirit, Lord. Father, I'm asking you, we're asking you, to let your joy bubble over in us. And I pray, God, that we would learn to be thankful in all circumstances. That we would be rooted in you, Father, that our roots would grow down deep into you, God, that we would rejoice always in the Lord. Be full of joy because you are good and faithful and kind to us. So, Father, we thank you right now for all that you have done. Fill us with your joy. As we leave this place, Father, may we shine the light with joy in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.